The Isser of Tumas Kohanim is one of the most relevant issues that a Kohen has to face on a daily basis. The shailas relating to this Isser come in many forms, whether it's visiting the sick or working in a hospital, driving on a road next to a cemetery or over a cemetery, flying in an airplane that's carrying a dead body, or flying over a cemetery, attending medical school. There are just so many shailas, so many questions that come up that a Kohen is confronted with relating to this issue. Obviously, in the brief time that we have here together this morning, we can't possibly cover all of these cases thoroughly. I'd just like to outline some of the basic issues that the post can consider when deciding these questions of Tumas Kohanim. It all starts with the pasuk at the very beginning of this week's parasha, Parashas Emor. The Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emor l'Kohanim b'nei Aaron, v'yomarta lehem l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav." The Torah prohibits a Kohen from becoming tamei to a mace, from coming in contact with a mace. The pasuk continues that there are certain exceptions to the rule. The Zayin Krovim, the seven close relatives of a Kohen, mace mitzvah, if there's no one else who can bury the mace. In these situations, the Kohen is allowed to become tamei. But aside from these extenuating circumstances, the Kohen is not allowed to become tamei to a mace. What kinds of tumah are we talking about here? So there are three basic tumas, three basic types of tumah. There's maga, that's touching the mace. There's masa, carrying the mace even without touching him. And of course, ohel. Ohel means either that the mace is on top of the individual, or that the individual is on top of the mace, or that they're both sharing the same roof, what the posim call ohel hamshacha, that the mace and the individual are in the same room, and the roof, the ceiling, is drawing the tumah, it's moshech the tumah from the mace to the individual. These are the three types of tumah that we'll talk about. First question that we have to ask ourselves is, does this issue of Tumas Kohanim apply only to a Mace Yisrael or even to a Mace Akum? Let's say the dead body is a non-Jew. It's not a Yisrael. Would the Yisrael of Tumas Kohanim apply there as well? Most poskim assume that regarding Maga and Masa, there's no distinction. That the Yisrael of Tumas Kohanim applies even to Mace Akum if the Kohen were to touch or to carry the Mace. The question is, if all we're talking about is Tumas Ohel, does that same halacha apply? Should we say there's no distinction, or do we say that perhaps meseyakam are not metamei ba'ohel? So this is a famous machlokas tanoim and a machlokas rishonim had a paskin. How does the Shulchan Aruch bring the halacha down? So the Machaber in Yeridei in Simen Shinayin Beis Siv Beis writes, Kivrei ovde kochavim nochol nizor akoin milelech aleihem. Kivrei Akum, a Kohen should be careful. He shouldn't be metame himself. He shouldn't walk on the Kivarim. The Mechaber is Machmir for the Balitosis in Bav Metzia. Says the Ramah, Aval Bishi Yesh Mekilin, but the Ramah says there are those who are lenient. The Rambam, some are lenient and claim that Mesi Akum are not metame ba'ohel. Concludes the Ramah, V'nochon lahachmir, but it's appropriate to be stringent. It's appropriate to be Machmir. So it seems as though even the Ramah, even the Ashkenazim who follow the position of the Ramah, even though he says Me'ikar Adin, Me'siyakam are not Metame Ba'oel like the Rambam, it's appropriate to be Machmir. The Svardim certainly would have to be Machmir because the Machaber doesn't even quote the opinion that is lenient. But even the Ramah seems to be saying that it's appropriate to be Machmir in this case. So there seems to be very little to rely on for the Kohen to be Metame to Me'siyakam. But they point out that the Dagul Mervava, in his comments on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, suggests that maybe we can be mitzarev, we can combine another shita to the Ramah, maybe we can make a svek svek ala hakel. Which shita is the Dagul Mervava referring to? The Ravid, a famous Ravid in Hilchas Naziris of all places. The Ramam and the Ravid have a machlokas in Hilchas Naziris in Perakei. What's the din of a Nazir? The rules of Tumah apply to a Nazir as well. Nazir and Kohen are very similar. So what's the rule when it comes to a Nazir? Let's say the Nazir became Tameh, and now he's Pirish min HaTumah. He separated himself from the Tumah. Let's say he was touching the mace, and then he separated himself. Or he was in an Ohel with the mace, and he left the room, but he's still Tameh. he's not tar. He has to go through Hazav, Shlishi, and Shvi. He has to get Hazav from the Paraduma, go to the mikveh. So he's still tame. What's the din? Is he allowed to come in contact with the mace again or not? The Rambam says that as long as he's actually touching the mace, what we would call tuma b'chiburin, he's actually holding onto the mace, so then he's allowed to touch a different mace. That would not be a problem. But once he's piresh, the Rambam says if he were to touch another mace, he'd get malchus again. He'd get malchus for the first one. If he touched the mace b'mezid, then he'd get malchus for touching the second mace as well. That's the Rambam shita, that as long as piresh minatuma, even though he's still tumah, and technically you'd say he's not most of tumah al tumah, so he's not really adding tumah because he's not delaying the process of tahara, the Rambam nevertheless says that he'll get malchus. But the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says tumah v'tumah afilu piresh v'chos v'naga potter. The Ravid says that if the kohen touches another mace after he was piresh min atumah, he's potter, right? He's potter from the second negiah because he's still tamei. So as long as he's still tamei, he's potter. Concludes the Ravid, v'hakohanim bizman hazeh tamei emesein v'od ein alein chi of tumah. Since kohanim bizman hazeh tamei emes, they're becheskas tamei emes. We have an assumption that all kohanim are tamei bizman hazeh because we don't know exactly where mesim have been buried. So there's no chi of tumah, says the Ravid. V'hamachayev osam olav lahavi raya. Someone who wants to obligate kohanim, who wants to be machayev the kohanim, he has to bring the proof. The Ravid concludes that not only is this true when it comes to nazir, but kohen as well, that if pirish minatumah, even if pirish minatumah, v'chozav en oga, he's still potter. So therefore, since kohanim is manazeh, b'cheskas tmei emes, they are tamei. They have a status of tumah, a constant status of tumah, so therefore there would be no chiyuv for them if they be chozav enaga, if they actually would become tamei to a meis. Zok the Dogel Mervov on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, even though we don't paskin like this Ravid, we paskin like the Rambam, that if pirish min atumah he would get malchus, but we can be mitzayef the Ravid to the Rambam. The Rambam says me'ikra, then we paskin that meisayakam anat matame ba'ohel. So even though the Ramah himself wants to be machmir, maybe we could suggest that we can be mitzarif the Ravid. Then maybe the Ravid is right that bizman hazeh the kohen matumei emes, there's no isser of being mosif tumal tumaso, even if chozar upiresh, and even if the Ravid is wrong, me'ikar adin me'siyakam anat matamei ba'ol anyway. So putting two and two together, kohen bizman hazeh should be able to become tamei to meiseyakam be'ohel, because either there's no problem of tumah to begin with, and even if we're not going to be machmir for the Ravid, me'ikra din, the Rambam says the meiseyakam are not matamei be'ohel. This is the chiddush that the Dogel Mervov has on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfek Sfeika, to try to be mekel for kohanim bizman hazeh. And he concludes, umisharotze lismoch bazel hakel ein mochen biyodo. Someone wants to be lenient, to put the Ravid together with the ikra din of the Rambam, he can do so. You shouldn't be moche biyado. Sounds like a good solution for the kohanim bizman hazeh. Not so fast. The Dogel Mervava himself continues that he thought about it again, and he's not so sure that his earlier conclusion is correct. Because if you look carefully at the lashon of the Ravid, it could very well be that the Ravid was only talking about a chiyuv for malchus. The Rambam and the Ravid there are discussing whether a nazir was chozer umetame will get malchus again. Claims the Dogel Mervava, maybe the Ravid never meant to say that there's no Issa Daraisa. Maybe the Taka is an Issa Daraisa if he's Chozer Mutame. He might not get Malkus, but maybe there would be an Issa Daraisa. The Pischei Tshuva there in Yeridei and Shinai and Beis quotes from the Chasam Sofer, who takes it one step further. Chasam Sofer says that even if the Ravid over here will understand the saying that there's no Issa on the Kohen to be Chozer Mutame, but the Ravid in a different place retracts his position. The Ravid in the Tmim Day in Paskins like the Rambam, that the Kohen will actually get Malkus if he's Chozer Matame. So,
can you give us the numbers?
Sure. The Pischei Tshuva is number 6. So the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkot and Tes, at the very end, Ayin B'Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Kosav Olav Shlo Yorad La'omek, Vehevi the Ravid B'Tmim Dayim, Pasak Lehedya Kiho Rambam. The Ravid in the Tmim Dayim Paskin like the Rambam, that if someone is pirish min atumah, if the kohen or the nazir is pirish min atumah, and he's chozer metame, then he'll get malchus. So you can't paskin, you can't be mitzarif the Ravid to the Ramah, because the Ravid may have never said it, lahalocha. So the kula that the Dogel Mervava suggested is Poreach Ba'avir. Right? It's not really as strong as we thought in the beginning. We thought it was a great Svek Sveika, but it's not so clear that you can rely on this Svek Sveika. First of all, it could be the Ravid himself, even the Ravid in Hilchas Naziris, only meant it for Malkus, that the Kohen is not going to be Chayav Malkus, but maybe he'll violate the Issa Deraisa. What's more, the Ravid himself in Tumim Day in Paskins like the Rambam, that he'll even get Malkus if he's Pirish Menatoma and he's Chozer Matame. So to be Mekel for this Ravid is really highly questionable. There are some who wanted to be Mekel for Kohanim in general to allow them to attend medical school based on the Ravid, based on the Svek Sveika, putting the Ravid with the Ramah together. That even though in medical school the students have to take a course in human dissection, they have to dissect cadavers, even if you'll assume that the cadavers are non-Jews, I think in most circumstances they are. They tell a horror story that once they found a tag and it said Goldberg on it. This is a rare occurrence. Normally the cadavers are non-Jews. So even if the Kohen is not going to do any dissection per se, he's not going to be Nogea b'meis, he won't touch, but he'll still be in the same Ohel as the meis. So if you're Machmir the meis Yakam Amatame ba'Ohel, then there should be a problem for the Kohen just to watch his fellow medical students do the dissection. So if you'd be Mekel for the Dogel Mervava Svek Sveika, then the Kohen who's in medical school would be home free. He'd be able to watch his fellow medical students do dissection, and he doesn't have to do anything as long as the professor would allow him to do that. The problem is that this Ravid is highly questionable. It's not clear that the Ravid himself said it, and even if he said it, maybe he only meant it for Malkus, not for Issa. So it's really highly questionable to be Mekel for this Ravid. Others wanted to say maybe it could be Mekel because of Pikuach Nefesh. We want to enable the Kohen to go to medical school so that he'll be able to save cholim. There might be an issue of pikuach nefesh. So to that, Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva in Yeredeya, in Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Nun Hey, he writes he thinks it's hard to say that it's pikuach nefesh. First of all, there's no cholim befaneinu. There's no sick person that's in front of us that this medical student can save. He's not trained yet. What's more, there are other rofim in the world. There are other doctors. There are other non-Jewish doctors, and there are Jewish doctors as well. So to say that it's pikuach nefesh, that's also questionable. So to attend medical school as a kohen really is a very questionable thing to do. Before a kohen would do that, he really should ask a shaila to see if there's any room to be mekel in his situation. And I should point out, this is not limited to medical school. Dental school might be just as problematic, because I think the dental students also have to take a course in human dissection together in certain dental schools together with the medical students. Obviously, what could change all of this is virtual anatomy. Right? Everything in life seems to be virtual now. But if they would be able to have an anatomy course on computer, that certainly would make things easier. I think the medical schools don't want to do that because they feel that learning from an actual cadaver is better training. But that obviously would solve the problem, at least for the Kohanim. This is one issue that Kohanim have to contend with, that relates to the Issur Tumas Kohanim. Let's move on to another issue. Is a Kohen allowed to visit sick people in a hospital? So the question is, well, first of all, what kind of sick people are we talking about? If the chole is what we call a goseis, which is a technical term, the poskim explain a goseis means someone who we expect is going to pass away in the near future, some say within the next 3 days or so. Obviously, we never know exactly when he's going to pass away, but that's the estimate of the doctors. So that's a separate shaila unto itself. Is the Kohen allowed to visit that type of individual? The Mechaber and the Ramah talk about this in Yeredei and Simen Shinayin. Should be here. Source 7. Thank you. At the end of Source 7, Osel Ikonis Levayesh Yesh Bo Goseis. The Mechaber writes that a Kohen is not allowed to enter into a house that has a goseis. Hagod, the Ramah says, V'yesh matirin. Ramah quotes from the Ran that some are mekel, but v'tov l'hachmir, the Ramah concludes. One should be machmir here as well. What's the problem with a Kohen entering into the room with a goseis? He's still alive, so the poshut pshat is, what many poskim write, is that we're afraid that he might pass away. He could pass away any moment, and then the Kohen will be in the same oil as the Mesa. It's just a chashash, it's a concern that maybe he'll pass away sooner than we think. So if the chol is a goseis, then maybe the kohen should avoid visiting him. But let's say the chol is not a goseis. There are many sick people in the hospital who are not goseisim. We hope that they'll recover. So the question is the kohen allowed to visit that sick individual in the hospital? What could be the problem? The problem is not this individual. The problem is that there are other sick people in the hospital who do pass away. Certainly depending on the ward that you'll have to visit, there are certain areas of the hospital where it's more prevalent that people are passing away. So if someone is going to pass away on the same floor that the Kohen is visiting the sick individual, then if the doors are left open, then the Kohen is going to be in the same ohel as a mace, even though he's not under the same ceiling technically, but the ceilings connect. If the doors are open, the ceilings connect. That's maybe a satuma. So then the Kohen would be in the same ohel as the mace, and there could be a problem of Tumas Kohenim. If the Kohen were to close his door, so then there wouldn't be a problem any longer. But he wouldn't be able to leave until they take the mace out. Unless, of course, they close the door to the room where the mace is located. The Kohen could send someone to check to see if that door is closed. And then, once that door is closed, then presumably the Kohen would be allowed to leave his room. Not so fast. Even if the door to the room where the mace is being held is closed, the Kohen might still not be allowed to leave the room until they actually take the mace out. Why? Because there's another concept that's called sof tumah latzeis. Sof tumah latzeis. That even if the tumah is not there as of yet, but if the tumah is going to be there, if they're going to take the mace out through that passageway, so then we treat it as though the tumah is there right now. Anu halacha sof tumah latzeis. This is what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shinai and Aleph Siv Dalet. That's source 8. Chotzer hamukefes zizin ve'achsad ro'os. A courtyard that's surrounded with different overhangs and ledges. V'tumah be'echad mehabatim. A tumah is in one of the batim. Im kol pischei habatim v'hachalonos ne'ulim. If all of the openings to the homes and the windows are locked, tumah yotzis l'tachas hazizin v'ha'achsad ro'os. The tumah goes out onto these ledges, and it can be metame if the kohen will go there. He'll become tummy. That means we don't know which opening we're going to use to take the mace out. If we're going to take the mace through the front door, so then all the other ledges are not going to be metame, because we're not going to take the mace out a window, necessarily. But if we don't know, if everything is equal, so then they all have to be metame, because we don't know where the mace is coming out. That's called sof tumalotze, says the Ramah, hatam, mishum dehol v'sof hatumalotze, is there asham, roin ki'ilu yotza. Since Sofa Tumalotze is through that pathway, we look at it as though it's already left. The mace has already left through that pathway, so to speak. So it's going to be Mitzame, even though the mace is not there right now. This is quite a chumrah. Based on this rule of Sofa Tumalotze, as long as the mace is still inside the building, the Kohen would not be allowed to enter into the area where the mace is going to be brought, even if the mace is not even there right now. Let's say the mace is in a closed room. He's in the morgue. But they're going to take him out through some passageway. So if that passageway is connected to where the Kohen is, through open doorways, so then the Kohen would not be allowed to be in that area. Let's say there's a specific elevator that they're going to take the mace out of the area. They're going to take him off the floor through the service elevator down to the morgue. So if that service elevator is in the same area as the place where the Kohen is, where he's visiting the sick, there would be a problem for the Kohen to visit the sick, because if the elevator door opens, then he'll be in the same OL as the mace. Is there any room for kula here regarding sof tumalotze? So perhaps the answer might be that even if sof tumalotze applies to a mace Yisroel, maybe to a mace Akum there's room to be makel. Some achronim, some poskim want to suggest that maybe the rule of sof tumalotze doesn't apply to a mace Akum. Why not? So some have a formulation that maybe the rule of sof tumalotze is that anyone that there's a chi of kvura for, if you're obligated to bury them, sof tumalotze, it's expected that the mace is going to leave because there's an obligation of kvura. But by a mace, technically speaking, a Jew is not obligated to bury the mace. Maybe the non-Jews will want to bury him, but the Jew is not obligated to bury the mace. With neidake shalom, we do bury mace akum, but there's no real chi of per se. So if there's no real chiyuv per se, maybe the rule of sof tumalotze doesn't apply to a meis akum. Rabbi Shechter wanted to suggest something else. He claimed that maybe the rule of sof tumalotze is only a chumra to begin with. Rashi in the Gemara in Beitz on Daf Yud seems to say that sof tumalotze is just a din derabbanan. The Hagos of Rabbi Saul Ranchberg on the side of the Gemara points out that it's not clear that Rashi really holds this way. There are contradictions in Rashi, and in other places he seems to say that it's deraisa. But in the Gemara in Beitza, he says that it's only the Rabbanan. So It's only a chumra. So if sof to malatzes is only a chumra, and we know that meisei akum etame ba'ohel, the issue of tumas kohen if a meisei akum, that's also only a chumra that the Ramah added. Meikar adin, the Ramah wanted to be mekel. So chumra gabi chumra. Maybe we don't have to be machmer for all the chumras in the world. Maybe that's the reason why there are those who are mekel for sof to malatzes by meisei akum. So if you don't know that that there's anyone who passed away in the hospital, and it's not tumas ohel mamish, and you're in chutz laretz, so you can rely on the rov that the mesim a mesi akum, perhaps there might be room to be mekel that you don't have to be so concerned that there's a mes there. Perhaps. But the problem is even more complicated than that. Because we might not even be talking about sof tumalotzeis, we might be talking about tumas ohel mamish. Why? Because in many hospitals, many departments in the hospital, they leave skeletons in order to train residents, in order to train doctors. There are skeletons in closets. Some are open, some are in closets. You know, right, you've all heard of the proverbial skeleton in the closet. This is the literal or actual skeleton in the closet, exactly. So the real problem for the Kohen is not so much the sof to malotzeis of a mace in the hospital, or the vaday tuma, or the vaday tuma of the mace. We're talking about tuma of the skeletons. Even if you have, I imagine most of the skeletons are from non-Jews, but meikar adin, meisei akum not matame ba'ol. But the Ramah says what should be machmir. So a kohen could have a real problem here to work in a hospital where there are skeletons in the closets. Sounds scary. There are some hospitals that at the entrance to the hospital is a big atrium. It leads up to every single floor. You could look out from the 8th floor into the atrium to see people coming into the hospital. And many of the doors are left open. The doors to each floor, the doors are left open. So it could be a kohen will enter into the hospital, just take one step, and he could be ba'ohel with the skeletons in all of the departments in the hospital. Something to consider. Maybe they should do some research to find out exactly which departments do have skeletons. They should close certain doors and leave other doors open. It's not such a simple issue at all. I heard once that a kohen didn't visit his wife in the hospital after she gave birth. He was there when she was giving birth. She was a cholesh yesh bo sakana. But after she gave birth, so other members of the family visited. Maybe his mother went and other people went, but he didn't want to go because of the problem of tumas kohen and tumas ohel in the hospitals. Perhaps that's a little extreme. Maybe for his wife he can go. I saw Rav Moshe Feinstein as a tshuva in Yeridei in Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Samavov. I think this tshuva I have, yeah. Rav Moshe in number 9 wants to suggest that because rov of the Mesim are non-Jews, Ruba de Ruba Anachrim, he says, he's talking about those individuals who allow the hospital to cut them up for scientific research. So rov are going to be nachrim. Me'ikar adin nachrim anat metame ba'ohel. So he says, letzarach gadol, to allow a kohen to visit his chole, because of his tsar, the person, the chole, or the visitor, are going to be betzar if they can't do the visit. So mishum shalom mishpacha, he's willing to be mekel to say perhaps the kohen can rely on the ikar adin, like the Ramah, that maybe meisei akum anat metame ba'ohel. So there's what to be mekel for, but I just want to point out the kohen has to be sensitive to this. You know, people think they can go into a hospital, there's no issue. There are serious issues for a kohen to go into a hospital. In certain extenuating circumstances, perhaps there might be room to be mekel. Okay. Another important question that a kohen has to deal with, or perhaps I should say that the relatives of a kohen have to deal with, is let's say a kohen's wife is pregnant. Does she have to avoid coming in contact with a mace? We know that an Eishes kohen is not muzer in tumas kohenim, but the problem is if the Eishes kohen is pregnant, then she might be holding a zacha, she might be holding a kohen inside of her. So does she have to avoid going to a cemetery, let's say? This happens very frequently. The wife of a kohen is pregnant and no one knows, and there's a levaya in the family, chalila, and she's expected to go to the Beis HaKfaros, and she doesn't know what to do. If she doesn't go to the Beis HaKfaros, then they'll realize that she's pregnant. She doesn't want anyone to know. You know, so it's a tricky circumstance. What should she do? Is she allowed to go to the Beis HaKfaros? The Uber is only inside of her, but maybe there should be a problem. So the Shach in Yeridea quotes in the Sefer Rokeach, one of the Rishonim, this is in Source 10. Also, according to Kones, Kosav Harokeach Simon Shin Samachvav, Eshes Koin, Muberes, Muteres, Likones Bo Lames, Disvek Svekahu. The Rokeach says that if an Eshes Koin is pregnant, she's allowed to come into the Olames. Why? It's a Svek Sveka. Shema Nefelhu. Maybe the Vlad will not be a Ben Kayama, he won't live, he's only a Nefel. Oshema Nekevahu, and even if he's a Ben Kayama, even if he will live, he might not be a Zohar, he might be a female. And the cables are not obligated in the Yisuf to Maskoana. The Rokeach has a Svek Sveka. Based on that Svek Sveka, he says it's mutter for her to go to the Levi, it's mutter for her to visit the sick in the hospital and to come to the Beis HaKfaras, there's no problem. The Pisrei Tshuva there in Source 11 quotes that the Magen Avraham has a Kasha. The Magen Avraham asks, why did the Rokeach need the Svek Sveka? There's a simpler reason why the Muberes can go into the Ohel HaMeis. Because Tara Blua Eina Metama. The rule is that if you have something that's tohar, that's swallowed up inside, it doesn't become tummy. It's separate from the tumma. So let's say if a person swallows a ring, and the ring is tohar, and then he comes into a Beis HaKfaros, that ring is not going to become tummy. Tara Balua is not metame. Frekta Magen Avraham, why did the Rokeach need the Svek Svega to be matir, the Eshes Koin, Muberes, to come into the Beis HaKfaros? I have a simpler reason, that Tara Balua is not metame, so the Uber, whether he's in a cave or a Zohar, is not going to become Tomei anyway, so what could be the problem? That's the Magen Avraham's kasha. Reb Chaim Moshe Grzesinski, in his Tshuva Sachiezer, in Chelek Gimel, he suggests that maybe the answer to this question is that it could be the Issa Tumas Kohenim is not what we think. It's not that it's Issa for the Kohen to actually become Tomei. That's not the Issa. Even if the Kohen doesn't become Tomei, the Issa might still apply to him. Now this is fascinating because the Lashon of the Pasuk certainly sounds like the Issur is an Issur Tumah. What does the Pasuk say? Going back to Source 1. Exactly. L'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. It sounds like the Issur is to be mitame. So it could be that the reason why the Torah phrased the Issur in that way is because, generally speaking, when a person comes close to a mace, he becomes tame. But perhaps we can understand the Issur to Maskoanim and not as an Issur to become Tamei, but rather as an Issur to come close to a Meis. Rabbi Shechter develops this Yisod in his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon in Simen Lamed Hei, and he says, he thinks that Reb Chaim Moshe's understanding of the Issur is that he felt the Issur does not require the Kohen to avoid becoming Tamei to a Meis, but rather to avoid coming close to Mason, to avoid being miskarev el hames. That's really the Isser. So because that's the nature of the Isser, even if the coin were not to become Tummy, even if the Uber would not become Tummy because he's only Tara Balua, but when his mother comes into the Beis HaKfaros, he's pretty close to the Mace. That's miskarev el hames. So it could be that the coin is Muzza, that the woman will be Muzza, she'll be enjoined not to come into the Beis HaKvaros because she has to be concerned with the... It's a strange idea. Is the Uber Mitzuvah in the Isser? He has Isurim. I guess the understanding is that Lahaza Gedolim, Gedolim Alaktanim might apply to an Uber also. A new idea. Lahaza Gedolim Alaktanim says that the Gedolim have to be careful that the Ketanim should not violate this Isser, and if the Uber is going to come close to the Mace, then that Isser is going to be violated to some extent, some extension of the concept of Chinuch, if you will. So that's why when the Eshes Kohen is pregnant, she's not allowed to come into the Beis HaKfaros. She wouldn't have been allowed to come to the Beis HaKfaros. The idea of Tara Balua Lo Matame would not save her, because even if the Uber doesn't become Tame, the Issur Tumas Kohen might still be violated because he's Miskarev El HaMeis. That's why the Sefer Rokeach needed the Svek Sveka in order to be Mekel. He needed the Svek Sveka because based on the Svek Sveka, he could still be Mekel. Sofek Nekeva Sofek Zohar, Himtim Tzilomer Zohar, he still might be a Nefel. The Svek Sveka will still save you, but the question is, why did he need that Svek Sveka? The answer is, because Tara Balua is not going to help you, because the nature of the Issur Tumas Kohenim is not to avoid becoming Tameh, but rather to avoid coming close to the Mace. And even though the Uber is inside the belly of its mother, it is a little bit removed from the Mace, but it's not removed enough for us to consider it as though he's not coming close to the Mace. So that's why we needed the Svek Sveka in order to be Mekel.
Stand in the
So normally we assume that if he's not within Dalet Amos of the Mace, that's not called coming close. We'll talk about other instances which might be called coming close, even though he's not being Metami. We'll have to talk about it. But the first point is that the Uber, the fetus inside the mother, is not so far removed. He is Besoch Dalet Amos. So if he's Besoch Dalet Amos, even if technically speaking, he's not going to become Tame because Tara Balua is not Metame, but that might still be called coming close to the Mace, and that's part of the Yisur of Tumas Kohen. Yes.
Women are mitzvahs, are mitzvahs halatumah.
As a gedola,
allowed to take a kohen, to take an infant kohen, for example, close to a mace.
Exactly. So if we were to assume, if we would
say that women are not mitzvahs halatumah at all.
But they are a gadol, they're gedolim, so they're muzer on the ketanim to make sure that they're not going to violate any issus. If a woman wants to visit the sick in the hospital, if she's an ashes kohen, perhaps she shouldn't take her son, who's a kohen. Right? She shouldn't take the infant to the hospital, because the same issa that would apply to a kohen who's a gadol would apply to the katan as well. Okay? It's quite relevant that the only way that the Eishes Kohen who's pregnant is allowed to come in contact with the mace is because of a Svek Sveka, not because of Tara Blua. Why do I say it's so relevant? Because there are instances in which the Svek Sveka doesn't apply. Let's say the woman is overdue. Let's say she has been carrying the baby to term. And she's after 9 months. So is there any chashash of Nefel? No, we know for sure that the Vlad is a Ben Kayama. So in that situation, she'd have to be careful. The Svek Sveka doesn't apply. She wouldn't be able to come in contact with the mace, to come close to a mace. Because then there's only one Suffolk, Suffolk Zohar, Suffolk Nekeva. So to rely on the Suffolk Zohar, Suffolk Nekeva, Sveka the Reis L'chumri, you have to be Machmer for that Suffolk. Only if it's a Svek Sveka could you be Mekel. But once she's overdue, once she's come to term, she's held the baby to term, so then we know that he's not going to be a Nefel, so then it's only one Suffolk, so she'd have to be Machmer. Similarly, nowadays that we have ultrasound and we can determine whether the baby is a zachar or a nekeva, so maybe the whole Svek Sveka falls away. If you were to be mekel for the Magen Avraham, the Tara Balu is not metame, so then you'd be home free. We know for sure that Tara Balu is not metame, there wouldn't be an issue. But if you take Reb Chaim Oiz's approach, the way Rabbi Shachter explains it, that the issue of Tumas Kohanim is not to avoid becoming tame, but rather to avoid coming close to a mace. And the only reason why the Eishes Kohen Muberes is allowed to come into the Beis HaKfaros to come close to the maze is because of the Svek Sveka. So if the Svek Sveka doesn't apply, then the Heta doesn't apply. So it's very important that we're only relying, according to the Shach, we're only relying on the Svek Sveka. We're not relying on the Magen Avraham, because in certain circumstances, presumably, the Svek Sveka would not apply. Now, there are some women who don't like to find out the gender of their baby. So the question could be raised that if the situation comes up where she wants to know whether she can go to the Beis HaKfaros, maybe in such a situation, since she can be Mevara, maybe she's Mechuyev to find out. Right? The next, she goes to the doctor, and he takes the next sonogram, maybe she should ask this time. Or she can just ask the doctor who took the last sonogram, could you tell me now, I didn't ask you then, but could you tell me now what the gender is? Maybe she's Mechuyev to find out, because the whole Svek Sveka wouldn't apply if it's possible to be Mevara. Yes. So that's a whole discussion, right? There's another concept, I think, that the Achronim talk about. The Gemara in different places says that Uber b'me'ei zara kezar dami. It's a different issue, all right? What you're saying is that if Uber yerech imos, so then the Uber doesn't have a separate identity, so maybe the whole issue of Tumas Kohanim shouldn't apply. But others want to say that there's another halacha, that Uber b'me'ei zara kezar dami, that even if the Uber is a Kohen and he's a Zohar, and we know he's a Zohar, but as long as he's b'me'ei zara, as long as he's in the womb of a non-Kohen, the Eishes Kohen is not a Kohen, right? So if he's b'me'ei zara, he's kezar dami, he has a din of a zar. So even if he's lav yerachim, he might still have a din of a zar, so the whole issue of Tumas Kohanim doesn't apply. There are different svaras, different arguments that are made to suggest that perhaps there might be another reason to be Mekel. But going with the Shach, if you're only being Mekel for the Svek Sveka, which seems as though what the Shach wants to say, so then we have to look at the Svek Sveka and see if it actually applies. There are circumstances where it might not apply. Yes? Right. Sits in the back, but if the mace is in the funeral home, then she's in the same ohel as the mace. But if she stands outside, then there wouldn't be. If the mace is brought into the funeral home for the funeral, then she's still in the old with the mace. No, within Dalad Amos of a Beis HaKvaros, within Dalad Amos of a Kever, but if they're in the same Ohel, so then that would be a problem even outside of Dalad. That is called Dalad Amos. The mace is mamish right here because the Ohel is mamshich. It draws the tumah to the other individuals. Yes.
If you just want to take this last case, the mother is a Bas Kohen. Does it make a difference?
Bas Kohen is not. He's not mitzvah in tuma either, but you say, That's a good question. It's a good question. La halacha, we don't quote that in the poskim in Shulchan Aruch. It's not clear that svara really applies la halacha. Some of the achronim talk about it, you know, from a lumdisha perspective, but from a halacha perspective, the shach doesn't quote such a svara, so it would seem as though perhaps that's not taken into account la halacha. Okay. Rabbi Shechter wanted to develop this notion even further. He wanted to say that if the nature of the Issa of Tumas Kohanim does not require the Kohen to avoid becoming Tameh, but rather it requires that he avoid coming close to the mace, so that could explain a lot of other Shittos as well. We mentioned a Rambam with the Raya. We mentioned a Rambam way back when in Hilchas Naziris. The Rambam says that as long as the Nazir or the Kohen is not actually touching the mace, it's not Tumah B'chiburim. If Piresh Menatuma, so then he's enjoined from being Metame once again. That's what the Rambam felt. Against the Ravid, who says, no, even if Piresh, he's still Pot. What's the basis of that Rambam? It seems very strange. If the Kohen is still Tame, he's not delaying his Tara. Right? The Tara means he has to wait till the third day to get Hazar from the Paraduma. So the first day, he was just Tame, he became Tame, he's not delaying anything. So what could be the issue, according to the Rambam? Why can't he touch the mace again, or why can't he touch a different mace? What could be the problem? But if you understand that the Issur Tumas Kohanim is not to avoid becoming Tame, but rather to avoid coming close to a mace, it could be that even if he is Tame, if he was Piresh Minatuma, now he's not close to the mace, he walked away. And then he's going to come close to another mace and touch another mace, that's called coming close to the mace. If the Isser is, the Kohen is not allowed to come close to the mace, every time that he's going to come close to the mace, he'll violate that Isser. So we could explain the Rambam very simply. Even though the Kohen is not being most of Tumah al-Tumasu, he's not really adding any extra Tumah, because he's already Tumah, but he is coming close to another mace. So as long as he comes close to another mace, then he'll violate the Isser.
If he's
doing it with Mesa, then he'll get Malkus through. Correct, but the mother is miskarev of her own volition, so she has to be careful. The Hazar Gedolim Malaktanim tells us that the Gedolim have to be careful that the Ktanim shouldn't violate any Isser either. So we attribute the same kind of intention, or we take the intention of the mother seriously, even though she's not actually the one who's enjoined from becoming Tami. Rabbi Shechter also suggested that based on this we can explain another shita. The Mechaber and the Ramah talk about the idea of cherev hareu kecholo. Is a Kohen prohibited from coming in contact with a cherev hareu kecholo? What is cherev hareu kecholo? The halacha is that if a piece of metal touches a mace is an avi avos atuma, is the highest level of tuma. So cherev hareu kecholo is that the cherev becomes an avi avos atuma as well. He becomes exactly the same status as the mace. Cherev hareu kecholo. So the question is a Kohen muzhar, is a Kohen commanded not to touch the cherev hareu kecholo? He's commanded not to touch or to be in the same OL as the mace, but is he commanded not to be in the same OL as a cherev hareu kecholo, or not to touch the cherev hareu kecholo? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and Simen Shin Samach Tes in Suas 12, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah, Yeshomim, and the last three lines, Yeshomim, the Kohanim Asurim Litami L'Cherev Shenitma B'meis. Some claim that the Kohen is Muzer in Cherev Erekachol. V'yesh Mekilim, but some are Mekil, V'chei Noagul L'Hokil V'ein Nizharim Mizeh. The Ramah concludes that the Minig is to be Mekil. So why should the Minig be Mekil? If Cherev Erekachol tells me that the Cherev has the same status as the Meis, Savi Avos Atumah, it can be Metame the Kohen exactly in the same way. So how could you be Mekil for this? Tosis in Nozer and Afnandalad Amidbeis quotes the Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, who said it can't be that Kohanim can be muzar, they're commanded not to come in contact with the Chevar Reo Kohol. He says in a humorous way, he quotes from the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, Eza bayis asher tivnu li. If you're going to tell me that the Kohen is obligated not to come in contact with the Chevar Reo Kohol, so what kind of a house are you going to build for me? Ki ain bayis asher in shamais. Is there any bias that doesn't have some kind of metal that became tamei? If any Yisrael went to a Levaya and was wearing a metal watch, so then that metal watch is Cherev Hareo Kecholo. There's a lot of metal that goes to Levayas that became tamei and now is in the house, so the Kohen could never go home. That's a Nuchum. He has to stay in the Beis Medrash because he can't come home due to Cherev Hareo Kecholo. Zokter Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, it just can't be. It can't be that the Kohen and a Muzer in Cherev Hareo Kecholo. Why not? Bechev HaRekacholol is exactly the same as a Mesa, so what should be the difference? Rabbi Shechter thought, based on the same idea, that if the Issur Tumas Kohanim is not to avoid becoming Tameh, but rather to avoid coming close to a Mesa, so it could be that even if Chev HaRekacholol gives the Kohen the same level of Tumah, he's not coming close to a Mesa. The Mesa isn't here. The Mesa is 100 miles away. It's just the Cherev became Tameh with the Mesa, so it takes the quality of the Mesa. Regarding Tumah, it takes the quality of the mace, but it's not actually the mace. So if you assume that the Issur Tumas Kohanim doesn't prohibit the Kohen from becoming Tameh, but rather from coming close to the mace, maybe he shouldn't be enjoined from coming close to the Chev HaRek HaChol, because the Chev HaRek HaChol, even though it attributes, it gives the Kohen the same level of Tumah as the mace, but it's not coming close to the mace. So if it's not coming close to the mace, then there shouldn't be any problem. There was one Talmud Chacham who wanted to suggest that based on this idea of Cherev HaRek HaCholol, we can solve the problem of Kohanim going to medical school. How so? Well, put two and two together. If the Ramah is Mekel on Cherev HaRek HaCholol, so then what a Kohen should do is he should give his watch to a Yisrael who's going to a Levaya, let the Yisrael be Metame the watch, Cherev HaRek HaCholol, then give it back to the Kohen. The Kohen should put the watch on, and when he goes to medical school, he'll always wear that watch. Then he not only could come into the Ohel HaMeis with a Meis Akum, he can touch a Meis Yisroel. He can do dissection on a Meis, well, he can't do dissection on a Meis Yisroel for different reasons, but he could do dissection mamish. Why? So this Talmud Chacham suggested that if Kohanim are not obligated to stay away from Cherev HaRei HaKacholol, so then he can wear his watch, and since he's already Tomei, the Chev HaRek HaChol will make him Tomei, he's just not Muzer on that Tumah. The Chev HaRek HaChol will make him Tomei. Once he's Tomei, so then there's no Hosafas Tumal Tumaso, even according to the Rambam, because it's Tumah B'chibur, and he's mamish touching the Chev HaRek HaChol. Rabbi Shechter thought that this was very difficult. Rabbi Shechter thought that this is a tarte de sassi, this is a contradiction in terms. Why?
Well, first of all, you say the issue is discouraged Tomei, so then having to cut the thing doesn't help you at all.
Why? If the Isser is Iskarvas El Ameis, he's not being Miskarv El Ameis by touching the Chev HaRek HaCholol.
No, but not the watch. Going to the medical school.
That's what Rabbi Shechter said. Exactly. That if the whole reason why you can be Mekel for Chev HaRek HaCholol is only if you assume that the Isser of Tumas Kohanim is not to avoid becoming Tomei, but rather to avoid coming close to the Meis. So once the Chev HaRek HaCholol is on the Kohen's hand, so then you're going to be Mekel for him to come close to a Meis. It doesn't make much sense. The reason why he can wear the Chev HaRek HaChol is because he's not coming close to the mace right now. It might be a Tumah B'chiburin, but it's not a Hiskarvus El HaMace right now. So there's no way that you could be Mekel for him to come close to a mace just because he's holding a Chev HaRek HaChol in his hand. He's not coming close to the mace by holding the Chev HaRek HaChol. So there's no head there for him to come into the Ohel with the mace, or certainly to touch the mace, because that would be coming close to the mace. Even if he's not Mosef Tumah al Tumah, so he's already Tumah, he's not adding any Tumah, but he is coming close to the mace. So he should be Muzar from doing that. He should be enjoined from doing that because he'll be coming close to the mace. A very popular shaila that comes up in Tumas Kohanim is whether a Kohen is allowed to drive on a road next to a cemetery, if there are trees that are overhanging from the cemetery to the road. Again, so then the Kohen might be Ba'ohel HaMeis, he'll be Ba'ohel HaMshacha with the Kvarim, so there should be a problem for the Kohen perhaps to drive next to the cemetery. Or sometimes you have a road that's paved over a cemetery. I heard there's a popular store, forget where, the popular store local to Yeshiva, that they literally paved over the store, the whole the store with the parking lot, over a cemetery. There are some roads, there are some highways that have been paved over cemeteries. So can the Kohen drive over such a road, or even if it's not paved over the cemetery, can he drive over the road with the overhanging trees abutting the cemetery? So first thing you'd say, what could be the problem? He's inside the car. Isn't the car chotes b'fnei atuma? Doesn't the car separate between the Kohen and the tuma? Not so fast. There could be different reasons why the car is not going to be chotes b'fnei atuma. First of all, the car is moving. It's what we call ohel zaruk. Ohel zaruk, the Gemara in Erevin and in Gittin and in other places, quotes Machlokes, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi, as to whether ohel zaruk is shmei ohel or lav shmei ohel. Is it considered an ohel or not? A moving ohel. Right? This is on the third page. Suas 16. Anichnas le'eretz ha'amim b'shita tevel migdal. Someone who goes from Eretz Yisrael into Chutz La'aretz b'shita tevel migdal in a box or a chest of some sort. Rabbi Matar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Matame, Rabbi Matame, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Matar. Excuse me. The Ma'akam Iflagi Ma'asavar Ol Zarek La'av Shmeiol. The Ma'asavar Ol Zarek Shmeiol. Machlokas whether Ol Zarek is Shmeiol or not. We paskin Ol Zarek La'av Shmeiol. So this is a situation where the oil is not actually on the ground, it's being suspended in midair, but it's moving. It's moving. We pass an oil zarek lashmeol, so presumably the same should hold true for a car. So some want to suggest maybe not. Maybe the shita tevel migdal, since it's being suspended in midair, that would be an oil zaruk. But a car, since it's being dragged on the ground, it's rolling on the ground, maybe that's not called an oil zaruk, maybe that would be considered an oil. But even if it is an oil, there's a much more basic problem here. That is, that the car is made out of a davar hamakabel tuma. The car is made out of metal. Most cars are made out of steel. A lot of the cars are made out of steel, which is a majority of iron, barzel. That's certainly one of the six metals that the Torah mentions that are makabel tuma. So if the car is made out of a davar makabel tuma, the rule is, davar makabel tuma is eino chotetz b'fnei hatuma. So even if ol zarek shmei oel, even if it is enough of an oel that it could have been chotetz, but it's made out of a material that can't be chotetz. So the car can't serve as a chatzitza here. If the car is not a chatzitza to separate between the Kohen and the Tumah, so then there's a real problem of the Kohen driving over there, because he's going to be in the same ohel as the Meis. I'm sorry? Stands on rubber tires. Okay, but the ohel itself, which is the car, is made out of steel. So if the car is made out of steel, then how can that be chotzes b'fnei atuma? So if the road is made over a cemetery, it's really a big shaila. It's very difficult to be makel in such a circumstance. But if the road is only made next to the cemetery, so then maybe there's room to be makel. Why? Because the ohel in question is created by the overhanging trees. And overhanging trees are not as strong an ohel as, let's say, the ceiling of a house. How so? So going back a little bit earlier in the Makaros, the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Samach Peh Sif Aleph, Source 12. Shulchan Aruch talks about all different types of tumah that the coin is not allowed to become tameh to. A coin muzah shaloli tameh v'meis v'lo l'chol tumah saparshas mimenum. The second line, v'lo l'ilon ha'meisach al ha'oretz v'anofov muvdolin zemizeh v'tumah tachas echad mehen v'en yodua tachas ezeh. The coin is not allowed to go under a tree that's leaning over the ground, and the anuf of the branches are muvdol and zemizeh, the branches are separate, and tumah is underneath one of them. Someone was buried there, but we don't know where the kever is. So Shulchan Aruch says the coin is not allowed to go into that area because he might become tummy. So the Shach quotes from the Prisha in Source 13 that it seems as though from the Shulchan Aruch the problem here is a suffek tumah. The problem is we don't know where the tumah is. So therefore, the Kohen can't go under the tree because any branch that he's going to go under might be the branch that's overhanging the mace with the Kohen. So he might be Ohel HaMace no matter where he goes. So the impression you get from that Prisha, the Prisha's understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, is that if you were to know where the Kever is, then there wouldn't be any issa for the Kohen to go under the tree. Because the Kever, if the Kever is not under the same branch that the Kohen is going under, then they're not in the same Ohel and there wouldn't be a problem. So perhaps we can suggest that if the tree is located in such a way that the branches that are overhanging the road are not the same branches that are overhanging the kvarim, then there shouldn't be a problem. Sometimes you can see. The trunk of the tree is outside of the Beis HaKvaras, or outside the area, outside the line of the Matzevos. If the trunk of the tree is outside the line of the tombstone, so then you know that the branches that are overhanging the tombstones are not overhanging the road. So then there might be room to be makel based on the precious understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, that we know that the branches are not overhanging both the Kohen and the Kvarim. So even if the Kohen is in a car that's moving, even if we say that, oh, Zorak Lashmei Oel, and even if the car is Nachotis Bifnei HaTumah because it's made out of a Davar Mekabel Tumah, there still shouldn't be the problem because he's not Be'ohel Hames. How about if the Kvarim are on the same side as the branches with the mace, with the Kohen? Sometimes you have a tree in the middle of the cemetery, so there are some cemeteries that they don't have enough room, so they start to put Matzevos on the other side of the tree. That could be a serious issue. Dayan Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Dalid, Simin Lamed Aleph, he wants to suggest that maybe at least B'meisei Akum, if we know that these are Meisei Akum, we can assume that they're Meisei Akum, it's not a Jewish cemetery, maybe there's room to be Mekel. He puts a whole group of Svaras together. He says, first of all, the din of Ohel Hamshacha might only be Midrabbanan. The fact that Ohel, that the shared roof can extend the Tumah, that might only be a Chumer Midrabbanan to begin with. And he says the Ravid, he even invokes the Ravid. The Ravid says, Bizmanas HaKohanim anat Muzer from Tumas Meis. And he says, Me'ikar Adin Meis HaYakam anat Matame Bo'el like the Rabbanan. And he says the rush, the position of the rush is that even though a tree is maybe a satuma, a branch of a tree is maybe a satuma, it only extends the tuma to the part of the branch which is a tefach wide. But a part of the branch that's not a tefach wide, it won't extend the tuma. Where is the branch a tefach wide? Closer to the trunk. But as you get further away, it's not going to be a tefach. So Dayan Weiss wants to suggest if you're on the road, chances are good that the branches are not going to be a tefach where you are. So even though not all Rishonim agree with this, some Rishonim say that if there's a tefach on part of the branch, then the tum is going to extend to the whole branch. The Rosh disagrees, so he's willing to put these four different snifim lahakel together to say that at least B'meisei Akum, maybe the Kohen would be allowed to travel on that cemetery.
Is there a shear of duration? In other words, you're going 60 miles an hour.
Split second. I saw Rabbi Bleich in one of his articles, I think he has a whole discussion on the contemporary halachic problems in volume 5. So he quotes from the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozhuk Lavagon, who wanted to assume that the Tumas Meis takes a little bit of time. He has a whole cheshbin, he talks about airplanes. It takes a little time for the Tuma to go up and to spread and to this. The Poshup Shad is it doesn't take any time. It's a spontaneous, right. Instantaneous exposure creates the problem. That's the Pashup Shah. So let's talk about planes in the last few moments. Let's segue into the discussion of flying in airplanes. This is the final issue. Can a Kohen fly in an airplane over a cemetery? So the case of the airplane is a little bit more chomer than in the car, because here we're not talking about just Ohel Hamshacha and Ohel drawing Tumah through the trees, but rather we're talking about going over the cemetery itself. Mahil al Hameis is definitely a Tumah Daraisa. So is there room to be Mekel by Meisei Akum? So just briefly, there are some poskim that want to suggest that maybe there is room to be Mekel, because the airplanes are not made out of steel. Airplanes are made out of lighter material. Aluminum, they used to be made out of aluminum. Now I've read up a little bit on this. I think the airplanes are being made out of manganese, which apparently is even lighter. It's a lighter, sorry?
Composite, not metal.
Different composites, but they're not out of the six metals that the Torah enumerates, right? Zohav, Kesef, Nechoshes, gold, copper, silver, lead, iron, and tin, right? So if they're not made out of the six metals, some posts want to suggest that they're not mekabel tumah. The six metals in Parshas Matos are the only metals that are Mekabel Tumah. Aluminum would not be Mekabel Tumah. And lighter materials that are also not made out of the six metals, they wouldn't be Mekabel Tumah either. That's what the Vilna Gaon wants to suggest. But the Tiferes Yisrael in his Hakdama to say that Taras disagrees. So it's a question, it's a machlokas achronim, whether aluminum actually will be Mekabel Tumah. So if it is Mekabel Tumah, then it's not Chotzes Bifnei HaTumah. What's more, some point out, even if the plane is made out of aluminum, even if it's made out of something which is not Mekabel Tumah, But how do they connect the pieces of the plane together? With bolts and rivets and screws, etc. All of those materials are made out of iron, they're made out of steel. So if you're mamid b'davar mekabel tuma, then the item that you're mamid with, if you're supporting something which is not mekabel tuma with a davar mekabel tuma, then the item which is not mekabel tuma takes on the quality of the thing which is mekabel tuma. So if the mamid couldn't be chotzitz b'fnei atuma, then the davar she'ena mekabel tuma shouldn't be able to be chotzitz either. What's more, they say, the plane is an oel zoruk. We paskin that oel zoruk lav shmei oel, and this oel is even more chomer than the typical oel zoruk. Because the typical case of oel zoruk is where the sheet of tefillah migdol is being carried by someone whose feet are on the ground. But the airplane is mamish flying in the air, and Tosis and Erevin writes that the Mishnah says beferish that that kind of oel is lav shmei oel. Talis hamenaf nefes, as he calls it, of haporeach, a flying bird, or a flying magic carpet. Right? If something that's flying in the air that's not it's not being held by anyone who's on the ground, that avada is not called an ohel to be chodzis b'fnei atumah. So it's very difficult to find a kula for the kohen to fly over a cemetery. Rabbi Bleich there in the Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 5, he was talking about a shaila that came up, that the flights that left Eretz Yisrael through Ben Gurion Airport, for a time they were flying over a cemetery in Cholon. They were flying over Cholon and there was a cemetery there. So a lot of kohanim raised the question, how can we take those flights? They're flying over a cemetery. How can, even if they're thousands of feet in the air, there should be a problem. Rabbi Shechter thought that perhaps the way to be mekil on this shaila is based on the old Yisod. If you understand that the nature of the issue of Tumas Kohanim is not to avoid becoming Tame, but rather not to come close to a maze, so maybe we can suggest that even if Tuma Bokas Ve'ola, even if the Tuma goes up to the sky, it shouldn't matter. The Kohanim in the airplane might become Tame, but they're not Musar in that Tuma. They aren't enjoined to avoid, they aren't commanded to avoid putting themselves in such a situation. Because even if they become Tame, the Tumas Bokas Ve'ola, but they're not coming close to the mace. They're so far away from the mace. They're thousands of feet above the mace. So maybe we can suggest, Rabbi Shechter wanted to suggest, that if the Issur Tumas Kohanim is not to avoid becoming Tame, but rather to avoid coming close to the mace, maybe a Kohen flying in an airplane might not be subject to that rule, because he's not actually coming close to the mace. So this is the idea Rabbi Shechter developed. He has this in his Sefer. He said this shiur at the dedication of the Katz Kollel. When the Smicha Kollel was being dedicated, so Mr. Marcus Katz, who lives in Mexico, wanted to fly in for the dedication. So Rabbi Shechter decided to give a whole shiur to determine whether Mr. Katz was allowed to come to the dedication of his own Kollel. Baruch Hashem, he came out l'kula. Based on this logic that he said that if you're not close to the mace, then there's no Isser of Tumas Kohanim, because the Isser of Tumas Kohanim is not a function of Tumah. It doesn't require the Kohen to avoid becoming Tumah, but rather it's to avoid coming close to the mace. Obviously, this is only talking about flying in a plane that's going over the cemetery, but if the plane is carrying a mace in the cargo, that's much more chomer, because you're not so far away from that mace. So that's a real serious issue. The best thing for a Kohen to do is to try to avoid that situation. I saw they quote Rav Yaakov Breish in Chelkis Yaakov, Dayan Weiss's Mechutin. Rav Breish wanted to suggest maybe if you have like some kind of a box, you'll put a box in the cargo, a box made out of something which is not Mekabel Tumah. So maybe it would be mutter to put the mace in that box, and then the Kohanim, who are in the passenger side, there would be no problem. Aye, but Oel Zoruk Lav Shmei Oel, the box is moving, so he wanted to suggest it's a relative concept. Relative to the passengers, the box is not moving. So maybe we should say that this type of Oel Zoruk is Shmei Oel. But he says it's only a Svara, he doesn't have a mocker for this, he doesn't know whether we can really accept this, Lahalocha. Most poskim say that this type of oel zorek is lav shmei oel as well, because again, this is not like the sheet of tevo migdal. This is like the talis hamenaf nefes, the of haporeach. This is shooting through the air. The point is that an oel zorek is lav shmei oel because it's not kavua. It's not stationary. If the oel is really moving and it's not stationary, presumably it's not an oel to be chotzes b'fnei atuma. So the best thing for a kohen to do is either to take an airline that doesn't carry mace in the cargo, or to go from an airport where he knows that they're not going to carry mesim in the kohen.